This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 124 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, Tristan? What's up, everybody? 124. We got our boy coming to the table. Who we got? We
got Yannick Silva, man. I'm very excited to get him on. Been following his work for a long, long time. Like we mentioned on the end of Brian Habana's episode, this guy's friends with a lot of big social people like Richard Branson. He's friends with Tim Ferriss. He's, you know, his connections are huge, and some of the things he's doing in the business world with Maverick 1000 is, you know, quite commendable.
Yeah, he's a DC kid. I first heard about him, I got to be honest, through our show. In the early days, we did AJ Roberts. And that's when I first heard of Yannick. AJ brought up the Maverick 1000, and that's when I was like, what is this? What is this exclusive mastermind group that goes to Necker Island? And that ever since then, I've been following him and researching him, and I'm really excited to sit down with Yannick, get into that mindset, and kind of like pick apart what makes him, you know, separates him from the masses.
Yeah, it's 'cause another one of these guys that, you know, we've got, you know, just we get to actually pick the, like you said, pick the brains of a guy that's just achieved so much and just seems like he's got so much more to grow too. So it's going to be a very, very interesting chat. I'm sure that we'll get plenty of business and life lessons from him. And I'm really actually interested in asking that question about going to space.
Yeah, because it's only a one-way ticket, right?
No, I think you just go up and then you just come back straight down. I think
Are you sure?
Blast it in and then you get out.
Oh.
Because that's for that Virgin. Remember Richard Branson's creating that Virgin?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know he's on that list. I thought it was one of these things. When I was telling...
Hey, come back, bro.
When I was telling one of my friends about that, they were under the impression that it was the Mars list. But I could be wrong.
No, I think what happens is you get...
Oh, yeah, so it's correlated
into the orbit? Stratosphere or whatever.
Oh, and you come back?
And then I think you stay there for a bit and then you come back or something.
Shit, that's crazy. So
I think they're still working on that.
Yeah, but. My buddy, listen at home, you were wrong. It's definitely not to populate Mars. Joke.
Imagine that.
So Branson, is that technology is though part of...
part of Virgin, I think.
Is it Virgin?
Yeah.
It is. So they're not correlated with Elon.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so I was getting confused.
Wouldn't surprise me if it eventually ends up
like, yeah, all in the same together. Thing. It's exciting times, man, when you can sit down with people who are even, like, the humans are even doing that.
Yeah.
Let me get on a list to go to space. Let me come right back. Let me share that insight. That's powerful, man.
Guys, thanks for tuning into the show and sharing it with your family and friends. Continue to do so, please. We love it. And sharing it on social media really helps us grow, as does the 5-star reviews that you guys leave us on iTunes. So if you can, please, a little bit more juice than just leaving us those 5-star reviews, like I said, really helps us grow.
Yeah, YouTube, subscribe to the show. SoundCloud, subscribe to the show. Find us on Facebook. Support the cause, guys. We appreciate you.
Yeah, or get in touch. info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Any feedback, people that you want to see on the show, you know, we're always up to doing things that our you know, audience really likes to see.
Yeah, we got to create a great list coming up of upcomers. So to be in the first seat of knowing who's going on, you know, go to our website, sign up to that email list. It's really puts you in the front line of who we're going to talk to and then get you involved with the Q&A. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So get involved, guys. In the meantime, let's get Yannick Silva, and here he is.
I got something for your mind, your body, and your soul.
special guest is Yannick Silva. Yannick is a serial entrepreneur, has built multiple seven-figure businesses. He's an author, co-author, and publisher of several best-selling marketing books, while he also describes himself as an adventure junkie. He's the founder of Maverick Business Adventures and Maverick 1000, a network of entrepreneurs and industry leaders with participating icons, including the likes of Sir Richard Branson, Tony Hawk, Russell Simmons, and Tim Ferriss. We welcome Yannick Silva. Yannick, welcome to the show, my man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yannick, we appreciate you stopping by the Vision Board. It was roughly 8 months ago, Tris and I were in an interview, and a gentleman brings up the Maverick 1000, and he brings up Yannick Silva. So for our fans listening at home, could you share some insight on what Maverick 1000 is and, you know, what was your intent for creating it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got started in the online space back in 2000 and kind of with this idea at 3 o'clock in the morning for something called instant sales letters. And that grew and got pretty decent. That was my first sort of $1 million idea. And people are like, well, how did you do that? Maybe you could teach me. And that turned into this whole other career of helping others take their information content and sell it. And that, you know, that whole other aspect went very well, too. But about 9 years ago, I kind of looked at my life and I just asked myself a very simple question, which was, am I happy? And the answer, if I was being honest, was no, I wasn't totally happy. But, you know, outside in, making a lot of money, a lot of good things, had a great reputation in that space. But I thought there was something more that I could do. And that was what the first sort of inklings for what Maverick was. And it's this idea of bringing exceptional entrepreneurs together, almost in like a sandbox, and who care about growing themselves, growing their business, making a difference in the world, and having some fun in the process.
So it's an invite-only event. What is the process like for reaching out to the entrepreneur and getting them to come?
It's usually a referral-based type thing where the members have an opportunity to invite others that they think would really fit in. Sometimes it's others that maybe I speak on panels with, or I speak at events on together, or I meet somebody face-to-face and I invite them in. So it's there's no real structured way that we go out and you know, call the internet or call the world and say, okay, this person's in, this person's not. It's been more of a matter of organic kind of bubbling up.
How many members do you have right now, Yannick?
There's about 100 members who are pretty active. And you know, it's been interesting. It's been this evolutionary process, because when I originally started, it was Maverick Business Adventures, as you mentioned in the intro. And that was, you know, let's go off and go do these wild adventures. We take these cool entrepreneurs together, have business sessions in the middle of nowhere, and then we, you know, maybe have a charity aspect. So all the three aspects were the same, but the expression of it has changed. We're now we're more of a collective network that actually has more structured retreats and get-togethers throughout the year. And that's actually when I changed the name to Maverick 1000, because this idea, could we get 1,000 entrepreneurs who are industry leaders, who are big voices in the entrepreneurial space, who are world-class experts, to, you know, could we get them to actually change the world in some way? Yeah. And so we very, you know, it hasn't been about a big launch. It hasn't been about, you know, let's fill 1,000 of them right away. It's been, like I said before, organically and growing that way.
How does it work? Do you set the schedule well in advance? Is there typical retreats that might suit others? Like, do you segregate? Like, how does that all work? Just to give us insights.
So I believe in a very holistic approach for entrepreneurs. And so we have events that range from family events, where we teach their kids ages 6 to 16 about business and entrepreneurship and better family life, to just the entrepreneurs themselves. So yeah, we have a calendar, usually at least a year in advance. And we have 3-day retreats that happen. We have an annual summit that will go on somewhere around the world. And then there's other optional trips that happen throughout the year. So it could be an impact-related trip where we might go to Haiti. It could be a trip to Richard Branson's island. It could be a trip to go fly MiG jets in Russia. It really depends on the year.
And Yannick, could you talk a little bit about the importance of having the adventure aspect with striking the creativity side of the mindset?
Yeah, I think anything that gets you out of your day to day. So whether it's an adventure, you know, for somebody, an adventure could be, I don't know, like going paddleboarding, right? So that could be an adventure for somebody. For someone else, it could be flying a MiG jet. So it really is all over the map. But But I think anytime you get people out of their normal day to day, and you can create either an exceptional experience or an exceptional adventure for them, something, it also bonds them in a deeper way. Yeah. It also has them thinking differently. It just shocks their system in some way. And that's, you know, your best ideas never come when you're usually sitting at your desk. It's when you're out doing something else. You could be in the shower. You could be taking a walk. You could be, I don't know, running at the Bulls. It's really, you have to get yourself out of that environment. And then also the more intense it is, the deeper the connections are as well for the people that are involved in it.
Yeah. What's been the most extreme adventure so far?
Well, there's been a lot, and I don't know. I mean, the one for me that might be most interesting was I got certified to be a scuba diver, and then a week later we were diving in between two tectonic plates in Iceland that separate Europe and North America, and like -3 degrees Celsius water. So it's absolutely freezing, and you have to wear a dry suit. It's like, you know, jumping off into the deep end right away. You know, some of the other highlights for me for sure have been ice hotel in Sweden, you know, sleeping in basically a block of ice, flying a big jet to Russia, like I mentioned, skydiving at 30,000 feet. So halo skydives with an oxygen mask on. So those are some of the more intense ones. And then we also do, you know, very experiential ones, whether a trip to Japan or Machu Picchu and you know, having ceremonies with shamans in Mayan villages or in Cusco in Peru. So it really runs the gamut.
Yannick, on paper, if you just focus on the adventure aspect and, you know, the Machu Picchu and, you know, in the jet, you know, getting in a jet, on paper, it's very similar to a guy like, you know, Travis Pastrana, a daredevil, somebody who jumps out of helicopters or takes motorbikes off cliffs. But when you add the aspect of creativity and entrepreneurialism to that, where did that arise? Was it an inspiration of yours when you were younger? Did you read a book?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely came from scratching my own itch. So when I first started Maverick, it came from this idea of I just wanted to go hang out with other cool entrepreneurs and do some really amazing stuff. But all my friends either had they didn't have enough time, so they were too busy with their own businesses, or they had time, but they didn't have the, you know, the wherewithal and the resources to go off and go travel. So I really just combined everything that I had wanted. I'd been part of other CEO groups and peer-to-peer groups before, and combined everything that I wanted into this one group, which was not only, hey, some help on how do you grow your businesses, but how do you have fun in the process, and how do you make a difference in some way. So I don't think any of them really hit on all those three things.
Yeah, like, how do you pitch someone like Richard Branson, someone that's so adventurous already, to come on your program?
Well, he doesn't necessarily come on our, you know, we don't take him like skydiving or something like that. We go to him. And so, you know, the pitch for him is there's a lot of intersections for, just, you know, the kind of people that we bring in and the kind of, I think affinity that he has for life. You know, he is an adventurer. He's someone that says yes to life. He's someone that wants to make a difference in the world. And our core DNA is about those three things. So it's pretty easy to be in alignment in that way. And it's also something that we built and developed a relationship. It's been, so we'll bring a group there every year. This will be our ninth year actually bringing a group there. And I've gone on, you know, a couple of safaris with Richard and so forth. So you spend, you know, a decent relationship that's now built up.
Something recently I'm really kind of obsessed with is innovation on all different skills, micro and macro. Talk about when you see a guy like Elon Musk, when he's constantly pushing the buttons with his SpaceX program, what he's doing with Tesla, how he's continually to innovate by testing our human capability and evolution. When you see a guy like that, how does that affect you, and does it inspire you to think differently?
Yeah, I mean, Elon's really inspiring for sure. I haven't spent time with Elon. I've, you know, read up on him and been inspired in that way. I've spent time with his brother, Kimball, who's also, you know, equally impressive in his own right. And it's just really exciting that the bigger, you know, the bigger your vision is, the more, the bigger kind of higher level people you're going to attract to it. And that's where I think not everyone really gets that is they're thinking, well, you know, I'm going to do this thing. And instead of being as big as what I really think it could be, I'm going to hedge a little bit more to something that I think is doable. And what they might not realize is that having that big grand vision actually inspires people in a huge way. And I just saw this happen recently for a project that we started on Necker last year, and now is just about culminating and coming together, which was an idea that was pitched there to take an old World War II ship and sink it and make it an artificial reef and actually turn it into an educational outreach program, an economic opportunity for the local community, a scientific platform for research, and also basically a sculpture art gallery. And so that was a pretty big kind of vision. And then the people that have come into it now have been really incredible. And you have like this documentary filmmaker who works with Tom Cruise come into it. We have some of the best marine biologists that have come into it. Richard Branson has signed on for it and been a supporter. And so it's like when you have a big dream like that, it really comes together actually with the right people.
Yeah. Your network just seems brilliant, Yannick. Was that a skill that just naturally came from you? Where'd you learn that from?
Which part, the bigger visioning?
Just creating a network, and you seem to be such a great people's person. Is that just a skill that's been passed on from your parents, or is that just something that evolved?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because I look back and I think about like when I was in junior high and high school, I was always part of a lot of different cliques, never really deep into one clique, right? So I was, you know, hanging out with the athletes and then also the Dungeons and Dragons nerds and then I don't know the whatever other kind of cliques there are, but it, like never really, really deep into any one of them. And I was always this sort of bridge between a lot of them. And I think that part was natural. And, you know, I think the way that I look at relationships now is I'm always trying to make those connections still, because somebody, you know, whenever I meet somebody, I am very interested in, okay, what are they most excited by? And it's not necessarily even like what they're most excited by work-wise, but what are they just most excited by anyway? And then if I can find that out, then it's usually a good chance that I have either a book or a resource or a person that I'd like to introduce them to. And that makes that connection more valuable. And it's not from a, okay, now that person's going to be obligated to do something for me in kind of way. It's just as a way of, I just want to help people connect to what's going to help them.
Yannick, I think it's a human nature to be comfortable. People unwilling to get out of their comfort zone, think differently, dream big. And you mentioned the vision. When this vision is passed to certain people about the big things that you want to do, it kind of creates its own exclusivity. It, you know, it kind of funnels the people off of who maybe are afraid to dream. Were you a big dreamer as a child, or were you more of a realist?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think my dreams have expanded as I've kind of climbed the rungs of what has been a success and then being inspired by other people that I spend a lot of time with. So I wouldn't say that, you know, I came out of the womb having these massive dreams of everything that it could be, but as you start seeing some results, then it makes you start believing more in this idea that you can really almost like manifest your own destiny in a way. And I remember there was actually an interesting kind of a small example. I'll tell you a story that I think would be interesting. Is I believe in an ultimate life list, right? Like, so writing down what do you want to achieve, and you know, who do you want to hang out with, and what do you want to do, and where places you want to see, and so forth. And I had written down this list, and on this list I wrote down be a semi-pro beach volleyball player. So I'm 5'8". You know, you guys can't see that on the interview, but 5'8" and professional beach volleyball player usually don't mix. I was hedging, right? So I was like, okay, I'm not gonna train forever, and I'm not 6'6", but I was a pretty decent volleyball player growing up. And so I wrote be a semi-pro beach volleyball player. And one of my buddies who was on the pro tour at the time, he was IMing me. So this is during the days of AOL IM, and he was IMing me and kind of just sort of, you know, being like, oh man, my buddy just, it was actually his cousin who who had bailed on him to play with the most famous beach volleyball player of all time, this guy named Karch Karai. And the last tournament was coming up, and it was like an hour before the deadline. And I'm like, dude, you need a 5'8" partner. And he's like, yeah, I'll get back to you. And so I I'm sure it wasn't on the B list, the C list, who knows where. But he's like, all right, fine, Yannick, you're in. And then I got to play in an actual professional beach volleyball tournament, which technically made me a professional beach volleyball player. And so after that time, I'm like, well, you know, maybe I'm kind of playing a little bit smaller. And then I added a bunch of stuff to my life list. And because it really is just kind of it's just a list. Who cares? It's a piece of paper that you write something down on or a computer file. So it made me expand my thinking a little bit more.
So you mentioned Karch Karai. I remember being a young kid in Northeast Ohio, and ABC would play on Saturday mornings like Wide World of Sports. And then there was this movie called Side Out. Have you seen that? With Thomas Howell?
Yes. And St. John Smith.
Yeah. So it was one of, as I got older, I always kind of had that in the back of my head. How old were you when you realized that, the ultimate life list and you actually achieved it? How old were you then?
That one for the beach volleyball
thing? Yeah. When did that happen?
The beach volleyball. So that was like one of the last years of the AVP in that past version. I don't know. I want to say 2006, 2007 in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Have you ever written down like a success timeline in terms of what you've achieved in your life and kind of like use it hindsight 2020, almost like, oh, in this year this happened. And then you're able to look back and see yourself doubling down on your successes.
What do you mean? So taking a list, almost going back.
Yeah, if you had a document where your life was maybe 15 years ago, something in that, there's certain moments in our lives that, we can look back on and say, that was an important moment for me to get to where I am today. Have you ever sat down and documented that and looked at that and then kind of thought to yourself, if I keep doubling down, the possibilities are truly endless?
So I haven't done it that way. What I have done is I call them synchro destiny moments. And I thought I had come up with that term myself, but then I heard Deepak Chopra talk about it. But the synchro destiny moments to me are the stuff that I've documented where these moments of almost like, your life could go one way or the other way. And so leaving my father's business when I worked for my dad for a long time, growing up in a family business, and deciding to finally leave, and that opened up the doors to go into the online space, which then opened up the doors to go, somewhere else. So I look at these moments that were, sometimes tough decisions, but got me to where I am.
Just thinking on the dreams, Yannick, like just from doing a bit of research on you, I know you're on that space list. You're on that, you're 110th or 120th on the space list.
Yeah, 144.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask you, just intriguingly, how do you get on the space list and what fascinates you about space?
Well, to get on the space list, not too hard. You just pay your money to get on there. But now it's the list has gotten longer. They're probably at like number 800 or so. And I've been on there since 2007. So it's been a while. For what intrigues me about space is pretty much everything. I mean, I believe that I just am fascinated by this idea of the cosmos and our place in the cosmos and that we're not alone in some way and that getting humans off the earth is a step forward into really growing our civilization and the evolution of our civilization in some way, being an interstellar race. So that's part of it. And I'm just like any adventure, I think space is one of those big frontiers that you do want to explore and see.
Where would you like to go? Is there a particular planet?
Oh, man. If the way that technology has been advancing and it doesn't take 200 years to get to another massive planet, I'd love to get out of our solar system and see what else we have out there.
It's pretty interesting. I was reading an article by one of my favorite guys. His name is Graham Hancock, and he wrote a book called Footprints of the Gods. And he was talking about correlating with our evolution as a society, when we started, when we were just walking on land before, we started building things, our perspective was different. And then, we built those first buildings and our perspective kept changing. And then we built the first you know, rocket, spaceship. But he said the important part about that is, for some reason, as a society, we kind of stopped there. Our perspective just stopped in space. And he challenged the reader to think past space. And I wanted to ask you, have you ever thought like that or read any, you know, someone's insight on that perspective?
Yeah, so Graham Hancock, I'm a fan of, and then there's a whole other genre of authors that are in that same, you know, I don't know, deeper cosmology kind of question. And what I'm fascinated by is this idea of the great year and precession. And it's a roughly 26,000 year cycle of, you've heard of the Golden Age and the Silver Age and, you know, and the Bronze Age and the Iron Age. And then so people that are aligned with that idea believe that history is cyclical and that we are in a ascending time now and going back through and coming up, you know, into the Bronze Age and then going into the Silver Age again and then the Golden Age. And so to me, that is a really interesting aspect to think about, because they're considering how consciousness is really the creator of everything, and mind creates matter, not matter creates matter, and looking at that.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Have you gone down the rabbit hole with Sitchin and his 10th planet theory and the Anunnaki?
That one, I haven't read any of his stuff. No,
yeah, it's one of those things. If you guys listening at home, you end up wasting a couple hours. But he was this, you know, science based, very credible scientist in the '60s, and he was researching the origin of human history. And by the time he got to Sumeru, the Sumerians, he came up with this crazy theory about how we became humans and this planet that floats in our orbit mating with the Anunnaki. Do you have like guilty pleasures of like kind of like with your space fascination and making your own theories of what this whole thing is all about?
Yeah, I wouldn't call them necessarily guilty pleasures. I find it fascinating to try and pull these pieces together. And, you know, so I'm a subscriber to Gaia.com, which is this pretty big site, which has a lot of different, so everything from yoga and meditation, but then to some of these other people that have their own viewpoints on our cosmology and our origin. And so I find it fascinating to just look at whether it's where the intersection is of a lot of different religions and a lot of different myths about how there's central truths among so many. And that to me is kind of a fascinating aspect to see where it all connects.
Yannick, given all your achievements and, you know, the pretty lofty dreams that you have at the moment, what's your biggest challenge right now?
Biggest challenge is so we just put out our 2020 document for our vivid vision of, you know, where we're going, what the big picture is. And I think my biggest challenge on that is how to get that done without spinning my wheels, trying to do a bunch of different things all at once, because it's this very interconnected ecoverse is what I call it. And how to ensure that we're actually making forward progress. And a lot of people tell you to focus on one thing and then just do that. But the way I think and the way that, you know, I've really laid it out in this document is it's very interconnected, and one supports the other, and it's all integrated. So to me, I think my challenge is making sure that we are making progress on each of those areas without just making a little bit of progress that doesn't seem meaningful.
You mentioned earlier about, you know, the risk of leaving your father's business and when you finally left, and how for a lot of people, fear plays a big part of whether they stay or they go. Could you give some advice to our listeners at home who may be stuck a little bit, maybe in their career, and then talk about the importance of taking that leap in terms of progressing?
Yeah. So, you know, most people are probably struggling with some decision in their life that they're undecided on, and it could be something small. It could be, you know, something bigger about, you know, should I go for this project and, you know, go do the idea that I've had for a while or whatever it is. And it's like you just hurt yourself every single day by having that anxiety and worry cast over you. And I know that. So for me, like, that was a good example, was leaving my father's business. So my dad came here when I was 3 years old from Russia, and he ended up building a medical equipment sales and service company. And so, and working in a family business, you end up kind of doing everything. And at 14, I was telemarketing. At 16, the deal was I got a car if I went out of cold call. And so I worked with him for a long time, and I finally had this itch to go off and start my own thing. And so it was me deciding, you know, am I going to live my life for my dad and do what he thinks that I should be doing or would be doing by taking over the company and growing it and so forth? Or am I going to do what is best for me and what I really feel is right? And it's like our heart, really our intuition knows, and then it's just deciding to do it. And I've been quoted as saying that, you know, following your heart is frequently scary, but never wrong. And there's actually another brain essentially in our heart, and it thinks differently. It's been proven that there's a whole neural network in our heart, and tapping into that wisdom is really powerful.
Yeah. Let's stay on those scary moments. You know, for young entrepreneurs out there starting a business, you know, the road can be tough and can be scary along the way. What advice would you have from your own personal experience for them, for people struggling out there at the moment, for that, you know, first people in those first 6 to 24 months?
You know, it is hard, or else everybody would be doing it. And what you have to carry you through is your passion and your commitment. So in my latest book called Evolved Enterprise, we talk about how to align everything that you're doing with a greater cause and a greater mission and an impact that you want to do and your real purpose. And so when you have that alignment, it helps you weather those storms of what you're going to face. And as an entrepreneur, there's going to be ups and downs for sure. It's not one, you know, you start at the bottom and you work way up. And so those could come in the first 6 months, they could come in the first 6 years. I mean, they're going to come somewhere. But you need to have that perseverance that comes from having the passion and having something bigger. So there's a Nietzsche quote which says, you know, I can weather, essentially it says, I can weather any how if I have a big enough why. And that's what you're working on and focused on. And if the why is to just make a lot of money, that's not a big enough why. That's going to evaporate pretty fast. So you need that bigger reason.
Yeah, we were chatting with Dr. John DeMartini, and he was talking about that, the importance and relevance of having your intent and your why congruent with your values and your skill set. Sitting next to me, my co-host, Tristan, we talk a lot about skill sets, and he's one of the hardest working guys I know, very analytical, and, you know, it's part of our progression. If I turn to you and ask you what your biggest strength is that continues to allow you to evolve, what would that be?
I think my biggest strength is that I am, there's probably a couple. One is I'm really good at taking an idea that somebody has and positioning it in a way that it can have a greater impact in the world and a greater impact to make a difference in the world. So I'm really good at doing that. I'm good at also bringing together people in a sandbox, like creating some sort of exceptional or unique experience and bringing together really unique people in that way. And then holding the space or the container for them to come together for something extraordinary. I call myself a catalyst of catalysts, really is my best description. So I love people that already have a good reach and good leverage, and then bring them together and see what happens. And then I'm probably also a pretty good instigator.
It's probably a good time actually to ask you just about a few daily habits. Are you a very structured person? Do you have morning, afternoon, nightly rituals at all?
If you would have asked me this a couple of years ago, it would have been no. And I have got rituals for the morning now, and I actually found that to be really, really powerful. And so my morning kind of is, I don't have a set time that I wake up necessarily, but when I get up, first thing is a glass of water, usually warm water with room temperature water with lemon, and then a bit of yoga, maybe about a half hour or so, 25 minutes, 30 minutes of yoga, and then about 15, 20 minutes of meditation.
You must be feeling pretty relaxed after that.
Yeah, you're feeling very centered,
yeah,
and really, you know, ready to do whatever I need to do. And I think that it's really important for, just like, you know, in the airplanes that you hear when they're talking about, you know, if the oxygen mask comes down, that you put it on first, and then if you have someone next to you, put it on them next. Mm. Like, as entrepreneurs, as leaders, it's so important for us to be that pillar for our team and for everything else that we want to do, to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves.
There's an article recently published about, if you look back 15 years ago, the word entrepreneur wasn't like a sexy term to use as a self-described outfit sort of thing. And now it's everywhere. I'm an entrepreneur. Everyone's standing behind that title. How would you define what being an entrepreneur is?
Yeah, to me, an entrepreneur is a value creator, someone that brings value out into the world and is able to really express themselves through their business or their enterprise.
Okay. Just what I want to ask you, actually, with all the different books that you've had and helping you expand on your current business opportunities as well, what value did you find in writing a book?
So to me, your life really changes in three ways. One is the people that you meet. Number two is the experiences that you have. And then number three is the materials that you study and learn from. And books have been, you know, mentors for me for forever. And, you know, somebody takes 20 years of their life or 30 years or 40 years, their entire career, and distills it down into a book. I mean, there's no better gift that you can receive from that person. So books have always been a huge part. Like, anytime we've moved houses, the first thing that we build is a wall, floor to ceiling
bookshelves.
Bookshelves, right? So and you know, my wife gives me a hard time when we're giving away books and things like that. I'm like, oh, you know, we could still use that one. But it's I just love books. I mean, I'll still go through about a book a week, and I love the wisdom that's distilled from it. So by writing books, hopefully I've added maybe a little bit to that tapestry of that ongoing wisdom. And there's, I definitely believe in when you teach something, you learn it at a deeper level, right? So it's that learning, doing, and then teaching. It's like a really nice cycle that completes the loop.
Yeah, I love the aspect too of like sharing the book. Like, I'm that type of person. I'll read a book and then I just want to give it to people. Right now, currently in front of me, I'm reading back and forth Robert Greene's 48 Laws, and yeah, it's one of those ones that it'll throughout the last few years, I'll just pick up if I need. It kind of peps me up sometimes mentally. Do you have maybe a go-to book that, or maybe a chapter in a certain book, or a writer that sometimes can assist you if you need it?
Yeah, there's a couple books that I love going back to over and over again. There's one recent one that I've really loved called The Great Work of Your Life, by a guy named Stephen Cope, C-O-P-E, who's essentially, he's a yogi who looked at the Bhagavad Gita and then explored different people's lives through that lens. So the Harriet Tubmans of the world and Nelson Mandela's and so forth. Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged, you know, I've read that multiple times. There's, trying to see if there's anything else around me that I keep going back to over and over again. I'll probably think of something tonight and remember it. But those are two that really I can think of off the top of my head.
You've spoken in front of some of the world's most influential entrepreneurs in front of large crowds. For any of our listeners at home who are maybe preparing for a public speak or a keynote, what sort of advice would you give them?
You know, it's got to be, you got to know your audience and know who's sitting out there and who, what did they want to hear? And I've literally rewritten speeches at 3 o'clock in the morning because I wasn't happy with a canned presentation that I thought I was going to give, knowing who else was in that room. If you're, you know, if you're just flying in and then flying out, it's hard to deliver something that's really exceptional. If you're going to commit to it, it's ideal if you're actually there and then you can get a feel for what's going on in the room, what the other speakers are about, what, you know, so that you can tie into some of the threads that, that have been woven throughout. How to, you know, taking concepts, hopefully it's something that you really know front and back, because if you're simply just parroting back information, it's not really going to be that exciting. I think that it's maybe a little bit scary, but if you can get away from only PowerPoint, I think that would serve you really well. And then if you do PowerPoint, don't have it be so immensely dense with type and bullets and so forth, and just keep things you know pretty light and loose if you can.
Okay. Just going back to, I just read the other day your brilliant article, actually, The 8 Pillars of Joy, what you learned from the Dalai Lama. I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit on that blog and what you actually learned from that book.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because yesterday my wife and I were at breakfast and I saw a woman at the table next to us. She had, I don't know, it was a birthday or something, but she gave a present to the other woman that was sitting with her, and it was the Book of Joy. And I couldn't help myself, and I was like, yeah, that's a really great book. And so she's like, oh, good, thanks. And you know, I felt like I was intruding in their conversation, but I had to tell them that because I thought it was a really wonderful book, and I sent it to everyone on our team, and because there's so much to be learned from them. I'm a big fan of Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu because both of them have, you know, been around so much suffering. With, you know, Dalai Lama with essentially fleeing his homeland, and with Tutu with apartheid. But both of them have such a happiness and a joy and a lightness about them, and that to me is, you know, one of the greatest lessons, that you can see someone who, I think that the more evolved spiritually they are, the happier they are, that humor that they have has evolved too. And that is something really powerful for me. You know, one of the other things that stands out is finding gratitude in everything in your life. It's, as humans, for some reason, we're kind of wired to look at what's wrong. And I think from an evolutionary standpoint, that serves us, right? Because you don't want to just be blissed out when the saber-toothed tiger is like coming out of the woods and about to attack you. You want to be able to pick out what's wrong in your environment. But for us in this always on, you know, beeping, looping, blopping, all these things going on and asking for our attention, we need to create space to provide attention to what's really going well. And that's, you know, having gratitude, having looking at the joy in our lives. And then so whether that's taking a few moments each day and writing down what you're grateful for, or it's just being in that moment and being present. So those are some of the things that really jumped out at me.
Yeah. Yannick, just sticking on gratitude, just on the Vision Board podcast, we like to pay tribute to our inner circle. Can we just get insights into your inner circle and some of the things that they do for you?
Yeah, I mean, my inner circle, my wife is on there for sure. I mean, she's someone who is pretty much the exact opposite of me for adventure-wise, you know, needing to go out and experience life fully. Like she's totally my home base, so that I can go out and go explore and go do what I do and know that the kids are perfectly cared for and that everything's great over here, and that she's really one of my, you know, best support systems. Some of the other kind of inner circle is my team that I work with. They really help me do the things that I can do where I can show up in my best way, and they can protect me for myself because I like to say yes to a lot of things. So I have people on my team that are willing to say no. I have people on my team that are willing to step in and do the detail work that I don't have to do, so I can focus on the big picture. And so those are a few of them. And then, you know, some of the mentors, inner circle mentors, or people that really inspire me and walk their talk, like one guy named Frank McKinney, who is a mentor of mine for a couple of years now, who's someone who has full integrity in what he does. And every time I get around him, I love spending time with him. We get it. Haiti once a year together and build self-sustaining villages. And he's someone that, you know, I just look at him from a viewpoint of, you know, this is someone who truly lives his life by walking this talk.
Our circle of influence is so imperative for our success. It's one of these things that the last few weeks I've been collecting some data on my social media pages by asking a simple question: what's the difference between successful and unsuccessful people? And the wide array of answers and how some people attach success to objects or an idea, and some people attach it to past failures. How would you define the difference between successful and unsuccessful people?
You know, I would boil it down to one thing. And to me, it's been about responsibility. When someone takes responsibility, full responsibility for their life, for everything good that's happened, everything bad that's happened, that to me is a successful person, and that they're not blaming their environment, not blaming others. That has the hallmark of unsuccessful people, that it's too easy to blame others. So that sense of responsibility is huge for me.
Yeah, that's a brilliant answer, man. I've got to agree with you 100%.
Have ownership. Yeah. Yeah, own your stuff, guys, for sure.
All right, Yannick, to finish up, we're going to hit you up with some personality questions that we ask all our Vision Board guests. We've got firstly with Johnny.
Yeah, Yannick, we hear a lot about people's good days and what they do to achieve those. Let's talk about your bad days when you're struggling. Share some insight on what helps you get through those days.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big journaler, and I think that all entrepreneurs should consider that habit, because it helps get everything that's sort of swirling around in our heads out, and it creates a beginning, middle, and end to everything going on. So if I'm having a quote-unquote bad day, the journal, it's a daily habit for me. And it's something that I absolutely love, because at the end of it, you've processed it. And by letting things just stay unprocessed, that's where it builds up and gets into something worse. The other thing is I'm looking at like, what is the actual, you know, if you call something good, or, you know, if you say it's a bad day, like that you've given it a frame, and you've said, okay, now that's something negative, when truly it just is. And how do you sit in what that is, and actually you know, appreciate that for what it is in some way, because we either grow through joy or we grow through pain. And many times, when you have an elevated point of view and you have a extended point of view, you look at something what you thought was a really bad day or a bad incident turns into one of the biggest growth catalysts for you.
Interesting. Okay, Yannick, we're going to take you back to your childhood now. On your bedroom wall growing up, what posters did you have on it?
Oh, man, that's funny. I had a huge Bob Marley flag. I found this really, really cool, like, unique Bob Marley flag, which is actually pretty neat, because I just got a chance. I did a speaking event in Kingston, Jamaica, and I went and spent some time at Bob Marley's house. So that was really neat. Wow. So Bob Marley flag. I had a Montreal Canadiens, I don't know, like a paper mache thing that I probably made. For some reason, I was a Canadiens fan, even though I've been a Caps fan for like 30-some years. So I had a Canadiens paper mache thing probably. And then, I don't know, what else did I have? I had a Doors poster. And what else would I have on there? Man, I don't know. I'm trying to think. When I got into high school, for some reason, I had a drinking games like beer poster that I thought that was fine.
Yeah,
that would have worried your mom a little bit, wouldn't it?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe not.
Yeah, right. I don't know what she's into. Hockey, reggae, and rock and roll, man. Sounds fun to me.
I just remembered I had a sign that I liberated, quote unquote, from the beach. It was a sign that said shore break, and it was this guy like in a wave and kind of tumbling around.
That's to an extent a vision board at a young age, you know, things that are manifesting in your life. If three of your closest friends were in a room and you weren't there, what sort of things would they be saying about you?
I think they'd be saying, I don't know, what kind of, what, good guy I am, and how I'm looking to help people, and that I have a heart to help the world in some way.
Okay, and final question. Yannick Silva, you're going to be hosting a private dinner party. You've got 5 invites. The only rules, it can be anyone dead or alive. It just can't be any family or friends. Who are you inviting?
Man, 5's hard. I don't know. Let's think. How about Bono?
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of the way that he's really leveraged his celebrity to speak out for global issues. Let's keep it under the B's. We'll go with Branson. One of my biggest business heroes, a guy named Pato Bantan. So another B. He's a reggae singer, not super well known. We actually had a chance to bring him out to Jamaica a couple of years ago. He's a lot of fun. And then Sarah Blakely, who's the youngest self-made billionaire. She's incredible. And then I need another B. I don't know. The first person that comes when I think of another B is Barbara Bush, but I'm not sure if we'll bring Barbara. She seems like she'd be fun at dinner. Gives us some of her grandmotherly advice.
And Yannick, for all of our fans listening, where could they stay connected with you on social?
So on Twitter, I'm just Yannick Silver, Y-A-N-I-K Silver. I don't know, probably Facebook is / Yannick Silver, and then a couple of domains that we have.
We really appreciate your time. I know Tris and I have been wanting to chat with you for a long time, so we really appreciate you sharing the space with us, Yannick.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I should mention, so Evolved Enterprise is the new book. So that's at evolvedenterprise.com. My publisher would probably be upset if I didn't mention that one. And then my blog that I blog at periodically is yannicksilver.com. So yannicksilver.com.
Yeah, guys, get following. Yannick, thank you so much for your time. I'm sure next time we're in D.C., maybe we'll grab a beer or something, buddy.
Yeah, sounds good.
And guys, that was Yannick Silva.
That was awesome, Tristan. You know, it's a guy we've been wanting. I love when this happens. People on our list, on our vision, they come on the show and then we get to share that insight with you guys. So I know you enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed it. And I know you guys are going to, you know, get a lot from having this guy sit down with us.
Yeah, definitely. You know, as much as he was a business expert and obviously an author, gives us these great tips, you know. I think there is a lot of, you know, lifestyle kind of things that people that might not be as interested in business can really take away. So
yeah, that's a key point, man. I was really impressed with how relatable he is.
Yeah.
You know, you hear
down to earth.
Yeah, down to earth. You hear, you see his name on paper, Yannick Silver. I know you initially said off air before we got him on, you thought maybe he'd have a, you know, an accent different to an American.
Yeah, you just don't know what to expect with yeah. People, you know, like we said.
Bedros.
Yeah, hanging around with people like Richard Branson. Some people might go to their head, but obviously not with Yannick. You know, he's very level-headed, and the amount he shared with us was just brilliant.
Yeah, and he's in it for the right reasons, learning, sharing, and helping people. So, yeah, we're stoked to talk to guys like this.
Yeah, key points, and we'll just continue to bring guys on like Yannick that really, you know, resonate the same sort of values that me and Johnny have, and I'm sure that the audience has as well.
And that the show has, you know, the Vision Board podcast. Yeah. It's all about that, you know, creating this platform of learning.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Next week, we've got Timothy Sykes on, so it's going to be a great interview that we're going to... It's been delayed for a few months,
You almost pulled the plug on old Tim, didn't you?
Yeah, I think the reason why we haven't is that Tim does so much for charity.
Yeah, man.
That we cannot pull the plug on Tim Sykes, and he's a great human being, and it's going to be a great chat that we have with him, so stay tuned for that, and I won't break... We've got that many guests on next week.
Give them something else.
Just in case there's like a little late cancellation.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it for them too much.
Okay.
But,
we got some big boys
coming. There's going to be some special ones over the next couple of weeks, guys. So I think they're going to really, really...
Yeah, educators, health and fitness, coaches, innovators, you know, and that's becoming a common denominator here.
Yeah, the learning experience is going to be massive. So tune in. Remember to tell your friends. Share it with your family and friends via social media or email, whatever you do. Get in touch with us. Email info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Johnny's social media.
Yeah, follow me, Johnny Stofko. Go to the website, johnnystofko.com, and just continue to support us, man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm Tristan Cannell across all channels. So, you know, get in touch. Me and Johnny love the interaction. So please send us a message.
Yeah, let's do this, man. Keep it going.
Guys, remember, Friday recap. We'll recap, you know, the main points and a couple of little takeaways that me and Johnny think that you guys will enjoy. So check out the Friday recap. It'll be up early Friday morning or Thursday night for people in America. And like I said, Timothy Sykes on next week, but a host of other guys. So, you know, stay tuned.
Stay tuned, guys. We're bringing it.
All right. We'll see you Friday.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching a niche, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.